From the magic of the mind to the excellence of eternity. This is the Book of the Month podcast from Southside Broadcasting. A whole new area of broadcasting excellence.
This month's book is His Dark Sun by Jude Brown. His Dark Sun is the debut novel by Teesside-born writer Jude Brown. Set in the year 2022, it explores the Earth as it is subjected to serious warming and extreme weather. Temperatures in London have risen to 40 degrees. Water is rationed during the hottest spells, and open fires, smoking, and even storing paint in a shed are all banned. The story revolves around Luke Spargo, a 19-year-old who's become obsessed with ancient legends of the sun gods. Convinced he alone knows the reason for the heating up of the planet, he draws on historic rituals in an attempt to appease an angry deity and restore some order. Starting with plants, and then small animals and birds, Luke offers his sacrifices to the sun, but soon escalates to major fire starting, which involves murder. It seems his efforts are in vain, however, as violent storms sweep across the country.
Saturday, 28th of May, 2022. Love having a full weekend. Malik hates the fact I get one in four Saturday mornings off. Thinks he has more right to time off because he's got a life. I've got a life too, but I don't need to shout about it. Don't want to shout about it because then people would know, interfere, and that can't happen. The sun wakes me about 5:30. It's the most natural way to wake up. The body was meant to be in sync with the seasons and the light. I'm so not putting any blinds up because I know what will happen. Mum will want me to draw them. She'll nag me until I lose it with her. What grown man sleeps with a light on and the curtains open? I know she thinks I should have grown out of it by now. It's okay for a kid to be afraid of the dark, but not an adult. It's not that simple, though, and she knows it. I hear Mum get up and take a shower. She must be on earlies. I lie there, thinking about what I need to do today. Got enough roadkill. The shed's busting with it. But I could go hunting for scrap. Have a poke around. See what's new. Mum leaves and I get up. Celine won't stir for hours. I make myself a decent breakfast and check on the weather status. The scrapyard's up past the Esso garage on the way to Neasden Tube. A sun patrol passes me at the junction by the petrol station. It's an amber alert today, so the mobile units are out and about in their bright red vans with their bright red suns. They used to be yellow. It made the sun look too friendly. Now it looks like the devil's spawn of a tomato and a starfish. I give the driver a wave as he checks me out. I'm in the recommended dress code. Long sleeve t-shirt, loose-fitting trousers, hat, sunshades. No reason for him to pull me over. As I near the yard, a lorry load of scrap thunders past and a cloud of dust follows. When it clears, I see a four-wheel drive has come to a halt on the opposite side of the road. A woman is at the wheel, two screaming kids beside her. She gets out, walks to the front of the car and stares at the ground. She's wearing shorts and a short-sleeved top, and I want to tell her how lucky she is to have just missed the mobile preachers. A queue of traffic builds up behind, and someone in the tailback toots. The woman climbs back into her car, but before she gets a chance to move off, a girl pushes past me, runs straight into the road. "Stop! Stop! It's alive! It's still alive!" the girl shouts. The woman grinds the car into gear and tries to wave the girl away, but she's not having any, smacks her hands down on the bonnet. The kids go hysterical, and the girl crouches down in front of the oxide tire. Her long blonde hair falls forward, and she has to tuck it behind her ear. "It's moving! It is! Look! It's moving!"
The detail Brown injects into the setting is one of the novel's great strengths. Anyone who's visited London, or any major city, during a heatwave will have experienced the dust, smells and draining effects of the sun. Brown takes this a step further, presenting us with scorching heat and relentless sunshine. The challenges of living under these conditions are apparent throughout, and she gives us some tantalising glimpse of how society might respond. The world is divided into believers, who blame the weather on global warming, and unbelievers, who consider such temperature fluctuations a natural part of the Earth's life cycle. There are squads of voluntary fire spotters, and teams of medics patrol the streets giving advice on sun protection and safe clothing to protect from the sun's harmful rays. Large screens have been set up in public places to announce curfews and emergency measures, and the city is barely a step away from martial law.
Thursday, 16th of June, 2022. Didn't sleep very well last night. All the doubts, all the fears ambushed me soon as I lay my head down. When I woke up, the worst of them was still there. Wouldn't go away. Still can't get rid. All the way into work, he hung around in my head like some stupid effing song. He's still there. Fee was wrong. Forgiveness doesn't set you free. The damage is done, and it won't ever heal. It's a hot one today, isn't it, love? They said we were going to get a nice warm summer. Not too hot, they said. But here it is again. Scorchio! It's a greenhouse on the top deck, and the woman opposite me is sweating so much her face is on the move, her makeup melting like an ice cream. She dabs at her forehead with a hanky. I never thought I'd moan about the heat, but they can shove it where the sun don't shine. My phone vibrates in my pocket. It's another update. The burnt-out car found at the site of the fire has been identified as belonging to a Mr. Robert Tate. Further updates to follow shortly. They're closing in. Just like he is. All my life I've been trying to dodge him, keep him at a distance, and now he wants to show up, spoil everything like he always does. The bus route takes us past the school. It's a red brick one. Iron railings. Looks like my last junior school. Dad insisted on walking with me. It was my third one in as many years. Exclusions don't look good on a school record, Dad reminded me on the way. I'm going to have a word with your teacher. Make sure he keeps a good eye on you before things get out of hand. As I walk with him, I imagine the words he'll use. Sneaky, sly, snide. I even tried to lose him. Ran into the mass that was herding into the building. Thought I could get lost amongst all the other kids, but he was like a terrier, tracked me all the way. Followed me into class. Told the teacher what he needed to do, and then before he left, he announced I was a bedwetter. Said it out loud, so all the class could hear. Humiliated me, so I'd be broken goods from the start. I can't concentrate at work. Keep making mistakes. Kojak's in a good mood, and he doesn't say anything. Curtis not calling round has obviously been a good thing. We've got another mechanic in to cover Mo's absence. Malik's not particularly friendly to him, but to be honest, neither am I. I'm keeping my best distance from both. Got too much to think about. I need to prepare for tonight. No idea what I'll walk into. Mum might not let me in. Dad might already be at the house. Sheila'd been talking to him, giving him the lowdown about the BBQ. How I hit Celine. I shouldn't have done that. I'm not sure she did go snooping. I think it was me put the cuttings back in the wrong order. The last time I looked at them, I panicked, stuffed them back inside. I'm getting too jumpy. This is what he does. This is what he makes me.
One of the more challenging aspects of this novel is the lack of truly likeable characters. Luke, the protagonist, is a murderer, an arsonist, and more than a little deluded in many of his ideas. His actions are comprehensible if the reader accepts the rationale behind them, but they can scarcely be condoned. Fee, his girlfriend, lacks much in the way of motivation and acts more on impulse, coming over as selfish and shallow. Luke's sister, Celine, is a sneak. His boss is a people smuggler, and his parents barely sketched in beyond being objects of contempt and hostility. This can make it hard to engage with some parts of the novel, but the story is strong. The world Brown has created is excellently imagined, and the premise is only too believable. Although His Dark Sun is Brown's first novel, she has had stories published in anthologies and been shortlisted for both the Bridport and Raymond Carver Prizes. As part of the Northern Writers Read Regional programme, She's appearing around the area and discussing her work. And so if you enjoy the book, look out for an event nearby and take the opportunity to meet her in person. She will be reading in Saltburn on Sunday, the 2nd of June.
It's the Book of the Month on Southside Broadcasting with Jenny Finch and a team of top writing talent.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium.
Hang on. Slow down. And one tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was the recipe?
Oh, if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Farmer Nord on 01670 519989.
All right,
or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989, or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Farmer Nord? I wonder.
PHARMANORD.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Farmer Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
From Thunderbirds to Pterodactyls and the Book of the Month show with Jill Appleton, Jill Prowse, and Rob Nichols, this is Shane Rimmer congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this podcast.
And I thought, Jenny, you wouldn't mind as a little mini tribute to the late, great Shane Rimmer, of course, the original voice of Scott Tracy, and many, many, many movies, if we actually just ran one of Shane's little idents for us there.
Absolutely. I'm just so disappointed he never got around to doing one for me.
Well, Phil Lianis has, and Phil Hurdwood and Rupert Baker.
Absolutely, so, and I'm overjoyed with that.
I'll work on Angela Rippon if you like. Rob, likewise, we won't move into the book just yet, but I mean, it was a big shock. I mean, perhaps not entirely unexpected. I know I was invited to the memorial service that was on St. George's Day, actually, recently for Shane Rimmer, a great friend of the station. And, of course, you had the chance of meeting him on one of the Book of the Month events.
I know, it was a tremendous privilege and honour, and getting the signed photo for the Birds photo, Scott Tracy. Somebody brought up with Shane Rimmer, voice of Scott, and as you say, I didn't realise, I suppose, just how many films he appeared in. Incredible.
Stanley Kubrick's Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah.
I Learned to Love the Bomb. Out of Africa with Meryl Streep.
Some tremendous films, actually.
Four Bond movies. One where he was uncredited as a voice. He did You Only Live Twice. Spy Who Loved Me, of course, probably his most famous role. Yeah. And Diamonds Are Forever. And also did the voice of one of the uncredited characters in Live and Let Die. Mm. And a whole stack of other things, etc. And Shane, much appreciated. And as I said, he's up there in Heaven FM looking down on us doing all sorts of things, effectively.
can't really say that the lead character in The Dark Sun, or his Dark Sun, is going to necessarily go to heaven. Although, maybe he does. Maybe he goes to sort of sun heaven. What did we make of it, Rob? Jude Brown, obviously, very talented author. Her first novel. We'll hopefully be speaking to her in the not-too-distant future. Is it the sort of thing which maybe might persuade both Emily Hartley and Jack Cochrane to complete their books?
They need to be completists.
They need to be completists.
They do indeed.
Exactly.
Yes, well, I think this really chimes with all those demonstrations that have been in London at the moment. And interesting that Jude sets this so much in that sort of northeastern London area. You can almost go around. You can always get the map out and trace where they are.
I presume when the movie is made, Emma Thompson could actually be the mother. I mean, she could obviously sort of channel her own thing, fly over there,
true,
and do with various other bits and pieces.
Yeah, I thought it was it's a tremendous story does really sort of chime with what's going on at the moment, and it's clever to set it just in the future, and with from what we heard from Sir David Attenborough this week about that. It needs to be set just a little bit in the future, because he's talking about end of life on Earth. So if we look at this as a book set in a time as the sun's heating up the Earth.
I understand precisely the comments that have been made there. The one thing I would say, I find it slightly didn't quite chime with me, apart from the fact that, well, David Attenborough, yes, he will be passing on, and it will be the end of the world, but I think things do tend to change. I'm not going down the line of climate deniers. I'm equally not going down the line of climate change deniers. I'm not going to go down the line of Greta, because I think Greta's got a lot to say, and I think it's a great shame that Jeremy Corbyn's brother decided to actually pour scorn, amongst various others, on Greta, the Swedish schoolgirl, who has a lot to say, which is very important, very vital, as a result of key things from that point of view. But I did feel that some of the sort of suggestions, such as having climate police, I don't think the government would care. I honestly do not think they would actually sort of enforce people to go around checking that people... And that was the one thing which, to me, I thought, yeah, set it in a 40, 50 years, possibly, maybe, but I just couldn't see in the next 2 to 3 years suddenly a whole range of climate change police has been saying, I'm sorry, you're not wearing regulation sun clothing there. You must be... That didn't work for me. The other thing...
You don't believe in the nanny state?
I think... letters in The Independent this week, or The Eye, effectively suggesting that we should have a compulsory, mandatory banning of any speed limit higher than 60 miles per hour for all vehicles, and substantial fines for people who actually go above those.
Yeah. Well, they're talking about putting things in cars now, aren't they? The technology will be there, so you can't drive any faster. So.
And then there are those of us who might just think back and saying, hang on, wasn't diesel supposed to be the answer to everything?
Yeah.
That's a change then.
Yeah.
So I think there needs to be a certain healthy skepticism. But in terms of the novel itself, I will echo Jenny's points. I thought the girls, female characters, quite sympathetic, although arguably the mother possibly maybe had one or two issues that could have been there. None of the male characters really kind of worked. They all seem to be very much, and I could take, if I wanted to use the phrase SJW, social justice warrior, we've got here a situation whereby, unlike, shall we say, Jenny's books, where you get a balance of male and female system, I did feel in this particular instance a bit of an agenda here, Jude. I mean, just, you know, where are we coming from on this sort of basis? But that's
I like that. Did you not like Jenny, like the garage setup? The
I just, garage setup?
Yeah, with those characters in the garage and the way they kind of didn't relate to each other.
Well, the only likeable character in the whole of the book, I thought, was Mo, who disappears because he's an illegal immigrant who's been smuggled in.
Yeah.
His brother's horrible. Kojak is just...
He never once said, who loves you, baby, or reached for a lollipop.
Yeah.
Critical absences of
Mo's
character.
Mo was very nice. I was very disappointed when he disappeared.
Jack, you read part of it in between various other bits and pieces. From what we've been talking about, from what we've been saying, is this a book which you think, yeah, I've got an original signed copy, I'm too right, I'm going to finish this off?
Yeah, I mean, I say it's been 2 weeks of a lot of travelling for me. So once I've got that out of the way, I will definitely be sitting down to read the rest of it. I mean, I'm really interested in it, the whole dystopian side of things.
I mean, it is classic dystopian fiction, certainly from that
100%.
Point of view. Emily, I mean, you'd reached the stage where it's still alive. Look, it's still alive, I gather. likewise. Any thoughts on what you've read so far?
Yeah, it's a shame that I haven't got further through it. I would like to read it. I like the colloquiality and how easy it is to read, so I definitely want to read the rest of it.
And to be fair, we send best wishes to your grandfather, who's in intensive care, not in this hospital, but actually is over in Darlington, so there have been one or two challenges from that point of view. So then we always got a name. Should we give a name check as well?
Yeah, Mick Hartley.
See, Jenny normally doesn't allow name checks on the programme, but yeah, it's there. Rob, any other sort of aspects about the text you'd like to read? Because I get the feeling you really liked it. I'm sort of...
Oh, it's a difficult book to finish, I think, because you've alluded to the fact that there's a bit of murder and a bit of
just
murder
alluded,
and
just arson. Alluded, yes.
You just wonder how far it's going to go. It's a bit of a challenging book to read.
There was a movie directed by Val Guest, which Jenny might just remember, called The Day the Earth Caught Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Which I felt actually got the whole essence. That was allegedly the Earth was tipped towards the sun because of nuclear testing. And it was Earth's access. You even say the words now. And I thought that actually got the issue across much more heavily than this. I couldn't quite... But then again...
It could be like The Day of the Triffids as well, because the isn't the last stand there in the lighthouse? And we've got a lighthouse
in the film.
In the film, and we've got a lighthouse in this book, haven't we?
Excellent intertextual spot there.
Yeah.
That was good.
We've also recently had the television drama Hard Sun, which took us through a similar apocalyptic event.
Yeah. What's happened to the Star Trek optimistic future that we see portrayed in the Orville, etc. these days?
We squandered it.
Overall, it's time for us to consider our marks and details from that point of view before we actually get on our bikes for the next thing. So I did that, Jenny. I'd worked on that quite extensively. I don't think it would be... Well, actually, from what you've read so far, Jack, how many marks out of 10 would you give His Dark Sun?
I'm going to give it a 7.
7?
Good 7.
Okay. Emily?
I don't really feel like I've got past the introduction yet, so I think it's a bit early.
You're
to
reserving judge
it.
Judgment, yeah, because it's a squirrel and that could have just sent it tumbling downwards in all sorts of ways. Rob?
I'm going to give it 8.5. I did really like it.
7 for me, I think. 7 to 7.5. Jenny?
And 7.5 for me. It's a cracking debut.
Absolutely, yes. Again, hats off to technically. Maybe it's just I like to sort of identify with some of the characters a bit more, and I felt here it was a dark side. But then again, His Dark Sun. And interesting enough, it's worth noting, as indeed you addressed earlier in the morning, Emily, that it's sun as in...
S-U-N.
Exactly, because it can be very confusing.
Until I started reading it and I realised it was about heat and the sun. I don't know why I didn't register that, the way it was spelled.
His Dark Sun might be just somebody who's been sunburnt, you know, excessively, or in just dark side of, which actually might be a play on words. Maybe that is what we're looking for. His Dark Sun, it is a two-way tune. In fact, it is well spotted. You know, just addressed that. Addresses both whole things. Lord, it was almost like going back to the days of the Elver Man and sort of realizing that's not about little small people called elves. Death of the Elver Man. I couldn't resist it, Jenny. Next month, what are we doing? We are getting on our bikes to do what?
Yes, next month we're going to celebrate the Giro, one of cycling's three grand tours. And so next month's book is The Hilarious Geronimo by Tim Moore.
And not Geronimo with GE, of course, with respect to Native Americans, but Geronimo, or indeed Matt Smith's Doctor Who, Geronimo as in Gironimo, G-I-R-O.
Geronimo, as a friend of mine read it.
You're listening to Jenny Finch, crime writer, scholar, and commentator, with another classic Book of the Month on Southside Broadcasting. Crime writer. That means she authors the crimes. She's the mastermind behind the crimes. Oh, is this recording?